Dr. Deborah Vigil and Diane Thorkelson, thank you for being with us on Health Watch today.
Thank you for having us.
We're here so that you can talk about some exciting developments happening here in Nevada for children with autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders. This is through Nevada Lend. Can you tell us what the program is all about?
Well, the Nevada Lend actually stands for Leadership Education in Neurodevelopment and Related Disabilities, and it is a national network. The mission is to help children with disabilities, and it's done through training professionals in varied fields, genetics, developmental behavioral pediatrics, regular pediatrics, speech-language pathology, audiology, psychology, the list goes on and on. And so we train in Nevada, we train practicing professionals across the state. One unique portion of this is that included in the disciplines is a family. So we have a family member, and that's Diane. And Diane, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
One of the overarching goals of Lend is to really teach practicing professionals and graduate students how to provide family-centered care. And so in the Lend program, families have an equal footing to all of the other professionals sitting around the table. So every year we train, I think we've actually had two family trainees come through almost every year. So these are parents of children with autism or other neurodevelopmental issues. And they are at the decision-making table talking as equals to all of the professionals who are providing care for their children. They are also at the policy-making level, making sure that large systems of care remain family-centered.
How can people get involved, say, a parent of a child, and they're wondering about possibly do they have this kind of disorder? What are the services they can access?
So Lend is not a direct service. It's a leadership training program for practicing professionals. However, if there's families in the community who are either A, interested in being a Lend trainee, we have an application process. But if families are seeking services for their children, there are three sort of main entry points into the system. A lot of families start with their pediatricians. I'm worried that my child is not doing X, Y, or Z. And so the pediatricians then refer. But families can also access services through Nevada Early Intervention Services for kids birth to 3 years old. For kids who are older than the age of three, the point of entry is generally the Child Find Project, which is part of a Washoe County school district. And they help screen and evaluate, again, kids 3 to 5 years old. And then if a child is already school-aged, the most common place of entry into the service system is actually through the school district, having parents request a special ed evaluation for their children through their zoned school, and again, working through the school district. There are a lot of private providers in the community that do excellent work, but generally speaking, sort of the statewide or school district systems are where most people enter.
Well, you've mentioned early intervention several times. Why is that so important?
When children are very young, their brains are very, very plastic, which means that all of the connections for their neurons hasn't been made completely yet. And so when we can intervene early, we can actually train those neurons to go into the right places. And so that is the reason for early therapy. And that is a big push across the country because earlier intervention works. And it helps these children that once they get, if they're in services early, when they get to school, then they may not require as many services as they would have. So in the long term, it really saves money to get these kids in for services immediately because then they may not be requiring the expensive services later in life.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines from KUNR Reno Public Radio. I'm Susan Hill from the School of Medicine, and today we're talking about an innovative program for children with autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders with Deborah Vigil and Diane Thorkelson of the Speech Pathology and Audiology Department of the University of Nevada School of Medicine. Diane, I want to go back to the fact that you are a parent of a child with one of these diagnoses.
Correct.
What do you recommend as a parent as well as a professional for parents and how to access these services?
You have to be a strong advocate, generally speaking. you know, these are large bureaucratic systems of care, and a lot of times it takes some elbow grease on the parent's part to get systems to respond. So I always really encourage parents to stick with it, to don't be intimidated by professionals who may be saying, oh, let's just wait and see. There's nothing wrong. You're kind of being a hypervigilant parent. Parents know their children best. If their gut is telling them that something is off, seek an evaluation. But it may take multiple requests and to keep requesting.
What are other barriers that families might face when trying to get help for their child?
I think that one of the things that's pretty significant about these families is when a child has autism or some other related neurodevelopmental disability, these are very complex children, so they require a lot of services. So the families may be having to go to speech and language therapy two mm-hmm. times a week, and may have to go to occupational therapy two times a week, and then get applied behavioral analysis, and they come into your home and they're there for 20 or 25 hours a week. So it's pretty invasive in terms of what these families really have to live with. That's the reason why we need to have families be part of the team, because they truly end up getting trained themselves. And then they know their child the best. But there's a lot of services involved with these children.
But it does make a difference.
It makes a difference.
And what kind of examples can you give us of that?
I've been fortunate in the last couple of weeks where on a multidisciplinary autism assessment team, we referred children to all of these different specialties. And there was one child in particular that we saw a year ago, and we actually didn't give him a diagnosis of autism, but there was a lot going on with him. And the psychiatrist on the team gave him an anxiety disorder. He had a language disorder. And about 2 weeks ago, I saw this child in the clinic, and that the parents had taken the child to get play therapy, to get a private speech and language therapy. And this child was smiling when I saw him, was happy, was speaking, was playing. And a year ago, it was really difficult to even get him in the room with his dad. So these services really make a difference, and those parents just couldn't have been more pleased. And the other part was that this boy didn't have any friends, and now at school he's playing out on the playground. I mean, this is a real direct result of getting these services, and there are changes, and very positive changes for a child and the family as well.
And my daughter is 10 and has been in services since she was an infant. We have accessed all of the services that I've been talking about here today. She had just global delays, a lot of motor planning issues, motor processing, a language disorder. She's one of those complex kids that Dr. Vigil just mentioned. She is in fifth grade. She does still have some academic struggles, but we are working hand in hand with the school district to address those. She's doing incredibly well socially. Her motor skills, her gross motor skills have completely caught up. And her fine motor skills are still a little bit behind, but again, we're still in services. If you were to see her just mingling with an average group of typically developing fifth graders, you would not be able to pick her out as somebody that's been in services since she was an infant. And I kind of shudder to think what she might look like if we hadn't had all of those services, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives, and research is pretty clear that early intervention works.
Well, thank you. What a hopeful note to end on. Dr. Deborah Vigil and Diane Thorkelson, thank you for joining us on Health Watch today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much for having us.